Thank you, Allah, for blessing me with Islam.
Thank you, Allah, for blessing me with Islam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My dear viewers of Madri channel, once again welcome to Learn Your Faith series. As you are aware, especially those who are following this series on Madani channel, you will be aware that in this program, we tend to discuss and also try to find some possible solutions to the challenges that the new Muslims face today worldwide. Those individuals who embrace Islam, who are fortunate to come into the fold of Islam, sometimes they go through a lot of tribulations, a lot of tests, such as rejection from the family, friends, and the community. They find it difficult to find the right match to get married. In fact, if they are married, they find it difficult to maintain that marriage. They have a lot of problems in their existing marriage. Similarly, expressing their Muslim identity, they struggle to share this with other people around them because they fear the reaction of the people around. What will they say? What will happen to them? And similarly, they have a lot of difficulties in the journey of learning Islamic knowledge. In our previous episode, we discussed some of the important areas. We highlighted that these are the areas where a revert, where a new Muslim struggles in learning the Islamic knowledge. In particular, the struggle they have whilst learning the Islamic beliefs. Also, praying 5 times a day. This, as a concept, is a whole new thing for them. They find it very difficult to accustom to this. And also, like last time we promised, we will continue to discuss the same topic because it needs a lot of attention. Today, we are here again. We will continue this topic, having difficulties in learning Islamic education. But we have few other important factors that we want to touch upon. But before we do that, I want to welcome once again our brothers, the panel who have took time and came to the studio today. We have Brother Yusuf, who's on my right side. He's come from London. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you doing, Brother Yusuf?
Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal.
MashaAllah, nice to see you once again.
You too, brother.
MashaAllah, thank you for taking time out, and hopefully we'll have plenty to hear from Brother Yusuf today. InshaAllah, he's had a lot of time to prepare, hopefully. And next to him, we have Brother Bilal, all the way from Doncaster. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Brother Bilal, as you always, it's a great pleasure to see you, to have you here. Thank you for taking time out and giving us the opportunity to spend a bit of time with yourself.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be here and a great happiness to be here.
Alhamdulillah. And alhamdulillah, towards my heart, towards the left side, we have Brother Noor, all the way from Bolton. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you doing, Brother Noor?
Alhamdulillah. I'm ready for this program today. Let's get cracking.
Subhanallah, let's get cracking. Allahu Akbar. I'm sure he's got some his personal stories or some incidents that he wants to share with us. We will get on to that, like the way Brother Noor has just mentioned. Remember, someone can embrace Islam at any time of the year. So if he embraces Islam just a few days before Ramadan, or 5 months, 6 months before Ramadan, they could have different type of experience. Something that they weren't mentally prepared for, they weren't aware of. They did hear it as a concept, the Muslims fast for 30 days, but never really thought of it in detail. So sometimes the experience of Ramadan, where for the rest of the communities, the rest of the Muslims worldwide, is an exciting time. Everyone's, so happy and overjoyed. And so a lot of times you see people who, you meet people in Ramadan on a frequent basis in the mosque, in the Salatul Taraweeh prayer in the night, or any other time during the day, you meet these certain people, you may not see them throughout the year. Due to the blessings and virtues of Ramadan, even a lot of people get closer to the masjid, get closer to their own family, etc. But how is it for a revert to meet with Ramadan? Who wants to start off today? Come on then, Brother Yusuf.
Ramadan, if you've met Ramadan for the first time, I can say that it is going to be challenging, because this is the first time that you've ever fasted. With knowledge and understanding and gaining the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, reading about him, learning about him sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and understanding that how much he sacrificed for us and the Sahabas, you just can't wait for Ramadan.
Allahu Akbar. I think he's given you the solution. Those who do struggle when meeting Ramadan, before that time, get yourself mentally prepared and study the life and the sacrifices of the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Study the life of the companions, the Sahaba, and from there you can see the struggles and the difficulties that they had. This is nothing compared to them.
Absolutely nothing. I mean, you will, if you mix in with a Muslim community, which I am sure that some Muslims, some new Muslims, if they inquire in the community, you'll find that in iftar, everyone gets together and breaks their fast, and everyone's excited because it's a month of mercy. You know, Allah bestows so much mercy on you. And you'll find everyone to be so welcoming, and especially for a new Muslim, they're excited for you. They'll invite you over, they'll say, come over, you know, let's break fast together. And it's the month of fast.
Brother Bilal, so how is the experience of meeting Ramadan for the first time in the life?
It's an experience that I will never forget.
Allah.
Prior to reverting to Islam, I had a very healthy appetite. I ate, as said, 4 normal meals a day, breakfast, dinner, tea, supper. Mm-hmm. I had a very healthy appetite. I'd learnt a little about fasting, but not to the full extent, just basically the physical side of fasting, abstaining from food and drink. I knew very little that there's also another side to Ramadan. There's a spiritual side to Ramadan. And knowing now that during the month of Ramadan, the shaitan is locked away. Allah. Alhamdulillah, this gives us the opportunity to really give our all to this beautiful religion of Islam, not only physically, but spiritually. And the abstention from food and drink, it makes the mind realize that there are many, many unfortunate people in the world who, through circumstance, have to refrain continuously from food and drink. And in modern day society, we often hear the words people will say. When they mean to say they're hungry, they say, I'm starving. Mm-hmm. And I don't like this term starving, not in the context of today's society. It's a form of complaining. But to go back to the original question you asked me, you know, how did I find the first Ramadan? I didn't, without appearing to be arrogant, I didn't find it too difficult. The overriding factor is that, you know, it's one of the five pillars of Islam. And if we we cannot ignore the five pillars of Islam. So we have to enter the fasting with a full heart and not knowing that not only is it abstaining from food and then feeling the benefit when you have the food and the drink, but it's also the spiritual benefit that is gained, knowing that all brothers together throughout the world are taking part in this wonderful month.
Brother Bilal, can you remember any incident of your first Ramadan at the time of early morning when you were closing the fast and you had the meal there? Can you remember anything?
I can't.
And similarly, when you opened the fast, any of the days of the first Ramadan?
I'll give you an example. I had 4 Weetabix instead of 2.
Allah.
I had other food, plenty and plenty of food. I drink 2 pints of water instead of 1. And later I found that there was no need really. I could manage on the minimum.
SubhanAllah. That was nice to hear that. MashaAllah. What about when you opened that same fast?
Oh, it was wonderful. I was fortunate to go to the masjid and open the fast at the masjid with the other brothers. And I found that the beauty of the brothers bringing food, sitting down together, waiting, looking anxiously at the time and waiting and then starting and then the reading of the Maghrib prayer.
Allah.
Alhamdulillah. It's so unifying.
You know, Brother Bilal, you mentioned, you know, whilst we're in the masjid, you know, waiting for the Maghrib prayer to start so we can break the fast. And, you know, there are people there, they're just constantly looking at the time, waiting for that time to start, you know, for the Maghrib prayer to start so we could break the fast. But what is inside them that stops them from eating? Now, you could be in the comfort of your home in the month of Ramadan. You can, you know, no one's looking at you. You can go to your own kitchen, you can open the fridge, whatever you want to eat. You know, it's all in front of you. You can eat whatever you want, or even just 10 to 15 minutes before the opening, the breaking of the fast. There's food in front of you. You can just pick something up and put in your mouth.
It's the strength of the individual's iman.
Allahu Akbar. The strength of the faith.
The strength that he will gain. Regarding looking at the watch for the last minute.
That feeling is amazing. Because, you know, he's so hungry. 15, 20 hours have gone past. And he hasn't ate. He's hungry. And now the food's in front of him. And he's not eating. And if you look at it deep down, he's not eating because the fear of Allah Almighty. Allah Almighty has ordered to not eat, and he won't eat. When Allah Almighty has ordered to start eating, he's eating. That is this amazing feeling. Look at how submitted this individual is. You know, and Muslims all around the world, look how they act upon the command of Allah Almighty. That when Allah Almighty said, eat, he's eating. Allah Almighty has given this time frame. Between this period, you're not allowed to eat. He's not eating. This is a beautiful feeling. SubhanAllah. Brother Noor, I don't know if you can remember any of the first Ramadan experiences that you've had, but it would be really nice, you know, if you could share something with us.
Well, the first Ramadan was spending the 30 days itikaf. In the masjid.
Wow, wow. A lot of people struggle to even perform the 10-day itikaf, the 10-day when they have a sleepover in the mosque for the spiritual benefit. And of the last 10 days in Ramadan, to spend them in the mosque, it is also a practice of the Prophet Muhammad. This is a sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And Brother Noor, mashallah, you know, he spent the whole 30 days. SubhanAllah.
I think it's because I lived alone, so it was easier for me to spend it in the masjid, which I've done every year since I became a Muslim. Every year I've been on itikaf. But the first Ramadan, during this itikaf, was a time, I think, of testing, because when you become a new Muslim, the Satan comes into you to try and dissuade you of what change you've done in your life. And so during this time of the itikaf, there were people praying for me, and especially at night time before sleeping, I remember some brothers praying over me to help prevent the shaitan affecting me. And this was a great sort of healing time, but it was also a time of great tearfulness as well, because it was being the first time I'd experienced being in the masjid and living in there for this consistent time, and learning during the time of the itikaf, we learned different aspects of Islam, how to recite the Quran, how to learn the different methods of praying, the methods of eating and everything else, how to do wudu, all the basics of Islam are taught during the itikaf.
Where was this place held?
In Fazan, in Medina, in Accrington.
SubhanAllah,
and,
inshallah.
And the eating also, I didn't find the fasting too difficult, really, because I wanted to eat less anyway. So that wasn't a difficulty with me. It's when sometimes during Ramadan you find that people, when it comes to opening the fast, that they grab as much food as they want to try and to make up for what they haven't eaten before, which is, you know, not really very good on the stomach. We must eat less, as we read in that wonderful book of Amina Sunnah, of having to put the stone on the stomach to prevent us eating too much. We must try and eat less. So during Ramadan, eating less is a good idea, and we should continue after Ramadan as well. But during the Ramadan, it's a special blessing. And also, the prayer time of being living in the masjid, is you get gained so many blessings from the being surrounded by other brothers as well, and being able to pray the five times prayer.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Brother Bilal, wants to say something here.
Yes, I'd like to mention one more aspect of Ramadan is a Taraweeh prayer. And I strongly believe that during Taraweeh prayer, all present are in the presence of a miracle. And that is, the miracle is the Hafiz reciting the Quran, not just for 1 hour, not just for one day, but the full month of Ramadan. And I think overall, to me personally, this is probably the top of my loves of Ramadan.
Allah,
is to be in the presence.
Being fortunate enough to hear the whole Quran in the month of Ramadan, in the form of worship, you know, behind a person who's memorized the whole Quran. SubhanAllah, amazing. You know, may those moments of Ramadan come again and again in our lives, inshallah, so we can see the benefits and fruits.
The great miracle is that if we think there is, in our town or city, there is one Hafiz, there could be three, there could be four, there could be five. Take all the towns in the country, all the countries in the world, how many miracles are taking place? How many Hafiz are there throughout the world?
SubhanAllah.
Imagine, the Quran is the only book in history that you can recite thousands and thousands and thousands of times and never get bored.
And
there are
tired.
People, Allah. Name me one book that people have memorized the most.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
I think one experience that I've had as well for Ramadan, if I could
input
as well.
Welcome.
I think I'm going to rephrase it a little bit. I'm going to say the first Ramadan experience I've had with Dawat Islami.
SubhanAllah.
Because I only came to Dawat Islami in this Ramadan. So I'm going to count this as my first Ramadan. So this is the first time that I ever went to Taraweeh prayers. And on the first of the 10 days, I wanted to obviously pray the Taraweeh prayers because I thought it would be spiritually beneficial. And the first time I went to the masjid, it was literally 5 minutes walk from my house. And I've never been there before because I used to go to another masjid for Friday prayers. I went there and everyone seemed overly nice. And one of the brothers came to me and he was asking me questions. Where are you from? What do you do? And many things. And it was really nice. And that's when it started. That's when I, after iftar, we were learning, you know, there was a bayan going on and we were learning till like 3 o'clock in the morning. And then I started to come. I didn't stay for itikaf, because obviously I have to make a firm intention that this is because of the sunnah. But I was still learning, of course. So I was coming every day. I was off those last 10 days. So I was coming every day, staying from the afternoon till early in the morning. And we were just learning. And I learned so much during those 10 days. I learned so much about salah. I learned so much about wudu. I learned so much about the etiquette of sunnahs. You learn so many sunnahs. And in turn, learning about the sunnahs will get you closer. We have to always have this objective and this goal in life is to get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal and His blessed Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
SubhanAllah, as Brother Noor mentioned earlier and Brother Yusuf just said it now as well, that in the beautiful environment of Dawat Islami, worldwide, wherever you are in the country, around the world, if you have a Dawat Islami center close by, a Faizan-e Madina Masjid around you, then especially in Ramadan, and in particular in the last 10 days of Ramadan, if you can spend those days in that masjid, and whilst you'll have the benefits of performing the beautiful sunnah of itikaf, the sleepover in the masjid for the last 10 days, also you'll have a beautiful experience of learning the Islamic knowledge. You know, you'll have that one-to-one help in group sessions, study circles, and different aspects of the basic life of a Muslim. You'll be able to get your education there as well, inshallah. And alhamdulillah, what we've talked about so far was the beautiful experiences that you brothers have had. But let's not forget, you know, Brother Bilal and Brother Noor, let's not forget that there are people out there, the Rivat community, who at the time of Ramadan, they actually feel very lonely. They don't have anyone to talk to. Everyone's excited, everyone's busy. You know, they're going to the mosque on a regular basis, but this person's not really connected with our community yet. You know, he's not involved. People don't really know him. And this individual, you know, he's embraced Islam, so he's just learning from, you know, whatever source that he's got available. And he doesn't know what time does the sahri, the morning time, you know, to close the fast. He doesn't know the timings. He doesn't even know that. You know, sometimes, you know, I was about to smile there, but it's not really a smile, it's a cry. That I met one individual who, it's not just his first Ramadan. Now, he's embraced Islam good, you know, over 7 years. And I asked him, what's your routine in the month of Ramadan? What time do you close your fast? And what time do you open? And when he opened his mouth, when he said those words, and they really struck me here, I was thinking, what? He said that, you know, I wake up early in the morning and have breakfast. Now I don't eat anything, you know, anything major, but I still have my tablets during the day. I have this, I have that, you know, a few times. I have, you know, a cup of coffee and this. And he was calling that a fast as well. So a lot of people, you know, in this, you know, the sector that we're just talking about today, the new Muslim community, a lot of people are not actually aware what is fasting, what is it all about. You know, in the previous religion, before he embraced Islam, or he or she embraced Islam, they probably had a different concept of fasting. You know, some people fast, but they're still allowed to eat chips. Yeah, they're still allowed to eat some, you know, proteins, and they're not allowed to eat meat. Yeah, and sometimes they're fasting, but they cannot have water. No, they have all sort of concepts.
They have like this intermittent fasting where they fast for like 4 hours and then eat for the rest of the hours, and it's a mixture of times.
Yeah, and you know, for a new Muslim, especially, you know, if you don't really have the guidance around you, it becomes very difficult. And, you know, it's very scary. I feel really, really sorry for these brothers. Now I feel we could, as a Muslim community, now I wish we could do a bit more. No, to give them the comfort, to give them support. What, like you brothers just mentioned, you brothers were very fortunate, very lucky that you found Dawat Islami around you. And you were so lucky that these brothers didn't make you feel that it's difficult. You had a very smooth transition. And this itself is a mercy of Allah Almighty. Alhamdulillah. And both those who are watching this program, now if you know anyone out there, you know, and he's struggling, especially Ramadan is approaching, please, Now try to meet them prior to Ramadan, a month or 2 months before Ramadan, and get him mentally prepared. You know, what is Ramadan? What are the basic necessities of keeping a fast? Which things do you do that will break your fast? We need to be aware of them things. And it's a whole chapter that we have to discuss. We have to study, we have to understand. And the more you study this chapter, the more inner strength you will have, inshallah. The more smooth transition you will have. You will be able to really uplift your spirit, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. Moving forward from Ramadan to another pillar, which is zakat, giving charity. A lot of times, you know, people are aware, even if they haven't embraced Islam, they're aware that Muslims give zakat. Okay, Muslims give charity once a year. This is one of the pillars of Islam. So generally, they don't really find it difficult to give charity. But maybe they're not really aware what are the minimum requirements. And similarly, when it's time for the Hajj, they're aware that the millions of Muslims gather in Mecca and in the surroundings of the lands of Arafat, Mina and Muzdalifah. They're aware generally. In fact, most people just think they come to the Holy Kaaba, and that is Hajj, going round the Kaaba 7 times. This is Hajj. And they don't really know the rest of the rituals. But Hajj is a beautiful experience as well. And especially, you know, for a revert, you know, if we had the means, he or she had the means and had opportunity to perform Hajj, this itself is something great, something they really yearn for, something that everyone dreams for. Regardless of if you're a new Muslim or an old Muslim, we've had that topic before, didn't we? There's not such concept of new and old. When we are Muslims, we are Muslims. Yeah, but generally, if you've embraced Islam recently, you have that same yearning and dream. And similarly, if you're old, you know, you're born Muslim and you're living in Islam as well, and even you still have that yearning, you have that wish that, you know, may those moments come again in our life. And we can be blessed to see the Holy Kaaba in front of our eyes. Now may we could have the opportunity to perform the tawaf, going round the Holy Kaaba 7 times, as our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has taught us. We have that dream, we have that yearning. Yeah. However, I don't know if you have any thoughts, what goes through a mind of a revert when hearing about zakat and the Hajj? Do they have a scary feeling? Do they find this difficult to comprehend this?
I think out of the two pillars of Islam, you know, the one where the new Muslim would have the most difficulty is Hajj. Because there's, as we know, there are different aspects, as well as doing tawaf around the Kaaba Sharif. With zakah, it's really a question of mathematics, mm-hmm. Knowing what you've got, what is the required amount, and 2.5% of. So zakah, once you've established the mathematics of zakah, then it's quite easy. Hajj,
it's the mathematic and the purpose behind it.
The purpose, obviously.
Purify your wealth.
Yeah. SubhanAllah. That money, that 2.5% of your wealth that you're giving in the way of Allah as a form of zakat, this actually purifies the rest of the wealth that you've got.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
You know, if you had a country that is Muslim, that follows Sharia law properly, there will be no poor people on that land, because there are certain, obviously we won't get into detail and because it'll take a long time to explain, but it's a beautiful way to be conscious about giving on the way of Allah. It's not about how much, because someone could have a little bit amount of money and they give a little bit amount of zakat, but it's the fact that you are consciously taking what you think it's yours, but it's not, because Allah gave it to you. It's consciously giving back to the community. Allah is giving you something. Allah is giving you something. And you're giving it back to the community consciously.
SubhanAllah. We are moving very fast with the time. Just to round up a few things of the last episode and this one as well, we are discussing some of the difficulties that a revert a new Muslim does face whilst learning the Islamic education. We've talked about the difficulties in learning Islamic beliefs and comprehending them and understanding them. Then we talked about the experience of the worship, Salah, 5 times a day. We've also discussed the experience of Ramadan, in particular the first time. Then we've briefly touched upon today Zakat, and we've also talked about the Hajj as well. Hopefully, we will continue this same theme, the difficulties that new Muslims face in learning Islamic education, in particular when they want to be able to recite Quran in the Arabic language. And that's exactly our topic for the next episode. I hope this program was beneficial for you. It's given us a message that we all need to be more strong in our faith, more strong in learning the pillars of Islam, and be firm with Iman, inshallah. The more strength we have within our Iman, these difficulties that we are facing, they won't become difficulties. In fact, they will become a pleasure for us, inshallah. So I hope, inshallah, we can keep ourselves busy in good activities all the way in our lives, inshallah. Keep in good company. Hopefully, we will meet again, inshallah, with another topic to talk about, inshallah. Take care. Keep watching Madani Channel.
Thank you, Allah, for blessing me with Islam. Thank you, Allah, for blessing me.